Thank you so much. Yes, I have shared a hot tub with Danny. I just want to confirm that. It is incredible to be on this eldership team. I just want you guys to know how submitted we are to each other. And I'm submitted to these men to speak into my life where I need correction, because there are moments in life where you see things and God has to steer you. And he uses the people around you to do that. And I'm super honored that I've got these men in my life to help me to run my race. This morning, I want to start with almost a bit of like a confession, if I may, because when I was preparing, when I preached this message a couple of weeks ago in Central, and I met Danny during the week, I can't remember, and Danny said, "What you're preaching on, are you preaching the same message?" And I went, "Yes, I am." And we walked away from the conversation. The Holy Spirit arrested my heart. And he's like, how do you know what I want to say on Sunday? How are you so presumptuous to go a few days before the meeting to then define what I want to do? And it was almost a case of, who do you think you are? A rebuke by the Holy Spirit. And I really sensed that when I was coming into the meeting, because there's nothing we can do outside of the Spirit of God. There's nothing, there's no wisdom I have this morning to bring to you of my own, because it all comes from him. There is nothing I can boast in, because everything that I've ever achieved in this life is because of him. There's nothing I have which I can accredit to myself. So we've got to realize our position and almost our lane that God has brought us into if we want to receive the fullness of who he is and what he has for us, because we can get out of our lane very quickly, and I want to move into that. Now, we've been speaking about the presence of God, and I'm sure you guys have been covering the presence of God throughout this past few months. Now, the presence of God is a wonderful feeling. It's wonderful to be in the presence of God. It's wonderful for us to bask in his glory and to worship, and the anointing comes down and we're praying for each other and God's moving. It's a wonderful thing to be in his presence. And actually, there's no place. We are building a church for his presence. Every element of what we do, every single thing that we put a strategy to or an understanding to, is for his presence. We can't survive outside of his presence. We can't operate outside of his presence. But there's a way we approach God which is pleasing to him. And this morning, I want to try break open the way in which we approach God. Because sometimes we turn up and we just have an expectation. Just, Lord, just pour it out on me. Just pour out your presence on me. Just give me all that you have. And it's focused on, God, you must come to where I am. Now remember, God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's majestic, he's powerful, he's sovereign, he's all of these things, and yet sometimes we're trying to bring him down to our level and say, Lord, I want you to treat me for me. Just come to my level. And God this morning wants to show us how we actually move into where he is, because there's a way that he's done that. There's a path that he's created for us to meet with him, and it's very different from the way we want to do it, which is interesting. Are you ready for this? Okay, so the one scripture we've been looking at is Mark 1:17, where it says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So I want to say the first thing is, God wants to take you to a place you not already are. Okay, so you're not there. Are you there? Have you arrived? I haven't arrived. Okay, so we're not where God wants us to be, but Jesus said, I will make you into something you aren't already. I'll make you fishers of men. How are we going to get there? How is he going to take us into that place? You see, and where I want to center this is on worship. So this morning, there's going to be a lot of themes around worship and how we worship God, the way that he wants to be worshipped. Because we worship God most of the time with a way that makes us happy. We worship him with a way that pleases me. So I arrive into the meeting and I arrive into a situation. Whatever area I'm in, wherever I feel, I kind of want to come to God through that space. He's actually got a different route for us to go into. So I'm trying to worship him the way that pleases me. When I live my day-to-day life, even when I go to work, I'm doing a lot of the things I'm doing is the way it pleases me to do them, when actually my focus needs to shift on how do I please God in this circumstance? How do I lead my life in a way that's pleasing to him and it's not based on me? We've got to break that thing off of us. And the other thing I want to say is actually very, we also don't value the presence of God outside of church. So we don't value who God is outside of our meetings. And for God to move in every area of your life and for you to go into all that he has for you, his presence needs to be manifested everywhere. Everywhere, whether it's with your children, whether it's with your wife, whether it's with your friend, do you know what? I was in a situation this a couple of weeks ago now, and we walked into a situation, and there was a couple really struggling with discouragement, and I came into the room, and I was listening and. As I'm listening to everything that's going on, suddenly the Holy Spirit tells me to do something. And it was not what I wanted to do. I can tell you straight. There was no point. I did not want to respond. And I actually immediately said to the Holy Spirit, not a chance. Not a chance am I going to do that right now. And the Holy Spirit said, why should I talk to you then if you're not going to listen to me? Like, I'm having this conversation, I'm staring at this couple, this is going in my head, and I'm going, well, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm serious, Lord, like just go and check it out, go and have another think about it, come back to me once you've got a better idea, because I don't feel this is appropriate for the situation. And the Lord goes, I'm telling you, this is what I've said. And the route I want you to go through is obedience. So I followed the Holy Spirit, like with a bit of like, let's see where this goes. And what God did that night broke out something I would never have believed. Because all I wanted to do was go look at the situation and go, I've got so much wisdom. I've gone through stuff like this. I've overcome these areas. I've got this strategy and this prayer and this quiet time strategy, and I've got these special scriptures in my back pocket. I've got all of this stuff that's going to get them through. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I want my power to be manifest tonight because I want to show them something you don't even know and actually has got nothing to do with you. So just park all that wisdom and understanding that you think you have and let me do my job. And you know what? That's the Holy Spirit. What God wants to do through us actually has very little to do with us. What he wants to do through you has got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with him. And at the end of the day, it's all glory to him. Amen? Amen. Okay. Let's move on. Now, I just want to show you, we're going to look at some scripture now. Am I in the way for this? No, I'm not. Hey, it's all okay. Let's look at 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 7. Now, to give you a bit of a backstory, we're going to go through a position where Israel have got the Ark of the Covenant. They finally got the Ark of the Covenant. When I speak about the Ark of the Covenant, what we're talking about is the presence of God. So the actual presence of God. And there's a massive celebration in Israel. They've got the presence of God. They're taking it to put it in its rightful place. And the whole of Israel is celebrating. The presence of God is there and it's returned to them. Wonderful day. This is a day, a jubilee day. This is a very exciting day. Let's read together. 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 7. I really struggle with Old Testament words, so I'm going to have to ask for grace. I did, even 2 weeks ago, mention Alibaba in one of the passages, and there's no Alibaba in the Bible. Okay, so just have some grace for me. I do struggle with reading, public reading, but anyway, here we go. Buckle in. So 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 7. David again brought together all the young men of Israel, 30,000. 30,000, that's a lot of people that are celebrating. And all the men went to Baala in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim and the Ark. So you've got the presence of God, the Ark, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords. He's almighty, all-powerful. His presence is there. They're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. They set the Ark of the Lord on a new cart and brought it from the house. This is where I said Alibaba, but it's Abibnab, since I've learned, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Io, sons of Abibnab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Io was walking in front of it. David and all of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, and the whole worship team was there. I'm just going to put it like that. The whole worship team, they were singing, they were cheering. You had the Ark going, 30,000 men, and you can imagine the families. This was a procession. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. God struck him down and he died. Yeesh. That was hectic. Like, I read this. That's devastating to me. Like, proper devastating. They, in the middle of this massive celebration, with all these thousands of people celebrating, the presence of God is going. They're walking with the presence of God. God actually, when he spoke about the ark, no man could touch it. That was the rule. No man could touch his presence. You couldn't go into the presence of God. No man could even touch the ark. And this was known. This wasn't unknown. The ark, they're going up, and the threshing floor is like a big, I'd imagine, like a big concrete floor. I'm sure they didn't have concrete, but like a big round circle where they used to bring the wheat, they used to thresh it to get it to what they wanted. As the oxen are coming up onto the threshing floor, the thing shakes, the ark dislodges. He's doing what he thinks is right. that's what really is the tragedy in my mind. He's doing what's right. He intervenes. And he touches the presence of God, and he gets struck down dead. God has a way for us to approach him in his presence. He is an almighty God. He is a powerful God. And in Jesus, we do have the authority to come into his presence. We have the right to come into his presence because of what Jesus has done and because we've given our lives to him. But we still need to know who we're approaching, because it's by his grace that he's enabled us to come to this place. But he has a way for us to come in, and he has a way for us to fellowship with him without losing our reverence, without losing our grace, and without losing any misunderstanding of who he is, so that we don't bring God down to our level and try and get him to serve us, so that we still serve him as the King of Kings. And Jesus has given us this right. Jesus has enabled it, but it's not without the fear of the Lord. And we're going to look at another passage. And what I've really entitled my message is, how do we stay on fire for Jesus? We were discussing, even as elders, how do we get the church on fire for Jesus? That's our hearts. We're on fire for Jesus. The presence of God will be there. We're serving him with all our heart. We're surrendering to him with everything in our hearts. So we want everybody to be on fire for Jesus. But the thing is, you cannot stay on fire for Jesus without his presence in your life every day. So you cannot stay on fire for God without his presence. You cannot have his presence without being obedient. It's impossible. So you cannot have his presence without being obedient. And you cannot be obedient without the Holy Spirit, which he has given us. So I remember once when I started worshiping, and I'm going to touch on worship. I think it's such an important dynamic. It helped us frame all of this. And I was in a meeting, and the Holy Spirit, like I was young, so I was like, I don't know, 17, 18, somewhere back in the good old days. But and I got saved, and I went to church, and it was a big church. And I was fairly new to the youth there, and it was quite a big youth. And I went in, and they were all worshiping. They were just like worshiping the Lord, just surrendered. And I got radically saved, so I knew my salvation, and I knew the presence of God because He had revealed it to me when I gave my life to Him. So there was something that changed dynamically my heart toward Him. And the Holy Spirit started to say to me, like in worship, like, just lift your hands. And I was like, nah. It's like, oh, it feels weird. I've never done that. I've never ever lifted my hands. And he goes, lift your hands. And I go, no, really. I'm loving you in my heart. I'm surrendered in my heart. I'm doing it in my heart. And I felt the presence of God just go like, boom. Like I opened my eyes like, no, but I want your presence. Like, where did you go? Like, I'm still loving you. I'm still doing everything. And the Lord says, just lift your hands. So, closed my eyes, and I was like, Lord, the only way I can do this is if I pretend there's nobody yet. I can remember that thought. And he goes, that's exactly the point. You're worshiping me. It's not about the people around you. So, I want you to lift your hands. Something really small. So, I started to lift my hands. I felt the presence of God again. And it was just such a small way to learn obedience. But this is how we start this relationship with the Holy Spirit, where we understand He's sensitive, He's quiet voice. But those little steps of obedience take you deeper into His presence, because we want the presence of God. We can't have His presence without obedience, and we can't have obedience without the Holy Spirit. So in those moments, we've just got to flow with what He's doing. And actually park all of your understanding, park all of your preconceptions out the way, and move with what the Holy Spirit's doing. I'm going to move on. Okay. Now let's look at another story. We've got plenty of stories today. Joshua 6, 1 to 11. This is a story, again, everybody is familiar with. We all love the story. We know the story. This is about the walls of Jericho and the Israelites going into the promised land. And I'm going to run through the story, and then we're just going to look at a few points around that, but I think this is the crux of the matter. So we know we have a God that is all-powerful, and we know there's a way to approach Him. And I think within here, we're going to start to see how God operates. Okay, so now this is Joshua 6, verses 1 to 11. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and nobody came out. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets of the ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their trumpets. When you hear the sound, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up. Everyone straight in. Okay, so the first things first, how ridiculous does that sound? Like, come on. Like I've told you stories how I've found, even in the small things, the Holy Spirit not making sense to me. This is echoed through the whole Bible, almost in every story. This is ridiculous. Come to the enemy. We're approaching the enemy. We can see the problem. You can see the problem in your own life. You can see your problems, right? You see it. You come there. God says, I want you to march around the city 7 times. Well, actually, I want you to march around the thing for 6 days, and then do it 7 times on the 7th day. Like, seriously, like, God, like, again, just go and check that out. I'm not sure you really got a grasp on the situation. Israel was strong. They're a massive army. Like they would have, you can imagine Joshua walking back to his army going, guys, I've got a plan. I've heard from the Lord. We're going to march around the wall 7 times. We're going to march around for 6 days, 6 days, and then we're going to do 7 times in the 7th day. Okay, guys, are you all with me? Like, they would have gone, not it. Come on. Come on, just check how strong we are. We've been working out. We've marched through the desert. We've got a lot of wisdom on the way. We've actually destroyed a lot of enemies. So, like, we've actually got this, Joshua. Why don't you go and have a little sleep and just sort yourself out? Because by the time you wake up, we'll be inside and we'll deal with this. And God goes, no. This is what I want you to do. And actually, when God gave that instructions, he was incredibly specific. Incredibly specific. First, he had the army going in front of the priest. So you had the armed guard in front. So if you imagine it, the armed guard are here, all the strong men with all their weapons and everything. You had the priests with the ark. Then you had the people. And then you had the armed guard behind. And you had the presence of God just behind the armed guard. Like, God was specific. He knew exactly every detail. Once a day, then go rest. Keep quiet. See, actually, we'll get onto that. Then do it every day for 6 days. Then do it 7 times. And we're going to start to look at the way God works and why he said what he wanted. Do you know what's interesting? Why the armed guard were in front of the priests? Have you ever thought about that? That bothered me. I didn't actually mention this last time. That bothered me. Why was the armed guard in front of the priests in the presence of God? And God took me back to that scripture where he says, he speaks about the armor of God. And he's saying, those that are full of the armor of God, that are kitted in the armor of God. And I'm not going to preach the armor of God this morning. But those that have the armor of God in can precede the presence of God. So if you are full of the armor of God, you can actually take the presence of God into situations that need it. And you can break things out. But if you don't have the armor of God in, join the people. Join the people. Because that's the safe place. It's only those that are fully equipped with the armor of God that get to take his presence into situations. Let's carry on reading. Verse 6, so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, have 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it, and he ordered the army, advance, march around the city, as an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. Verse 8, then Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them, the armed guard marched ahead of the priests who all blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then you will shout. So then the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circulated once. The army returned to camp and spent the night there. This went on for 6 days. Let's carry on reading. I'm going to accelerate a bit. So verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time round, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in the house shall be spared, because she shielded the spies. So there was a moment where Rahab had protected and helped the Lord. So he kept her in when the walls came down. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. Verse 20, I'm just going to jump. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. You see, God's way ends with the walls coming down. This they had to do exactly as God prescribed in order to get the results that God wanted. And we're going to look at five factors around this story to help us in our own practically. If we want to see the breakthrough in our own lives, if we want to go into the promised land which God has for us. So, follow God even when the journey seems impossible or unexpected. This is a difficult one. This is a difficult one. Because God actually led them to the wall. God actually led the Israelites to that wall. And when they got there, remember that first scripture? The Israelites closed the doors. It was impenetrable. There's actually no way they should have been able to get inside. They had designed it in such a way that once it was sealed, there was no way in, there was no way out. There was actually no other way to be able to penetrate their walls. And God took them to the place. And how many times have we got to situations in our own lives where we feel like we're staring at Jericho's wall? How many times? I can think in my life where I've looked at Jericho's wall through my own eyes and I'm going, there's no way. There's no way I can get through this. I can't process this thing. You know, there was a time even when I was serving the Lord and like I felt the call of God on my life as a young man, and I've been through things that decimated. Like I thought there's no coming back from this. Like the disappointment, the hurt, the situation, there's no way. There's absolutely no way I can get through this. And in that place, when you look at Jericho's wall, that's the place Jesus wants to find you. That's the place that Jesus wants you to grab onto him and go, I'm looking at something that's insurmountable. I cannot do this in my own strength. I cannot get through this. There is no way in my own strength I can do this. And he can meet you in that place and he can go, I'm with you. I'm with you in this place. And you know what it feels like sometimes? You've got to march around the wall 6 times for 6 days. For 6 days. That's a long time. And so the struggles we face in our life sometimes don't just go away. But he's building perseverance as we hold on to him. Because perseverance brings hope. And as we continue to find him in the difficult circumstances of life, he can build himself into us, into our character. And he can take you somewhere you could never have gone on your own. He'll take you into something you could never have achieved in your own strength. So follow God, even when the journey seems impossible or unexpected. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And again, another scripture, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. And that is all of us that have given our lives and surrendered to him. He will take everything and he'll work it out for the good for those that love him. So don't be afraid in those difficult situations. Don't be afraid looking at Jericho's wall. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Grab a hold of him. Because the wall comes down. The wall comes down, and I want to say that. There is nothing that we face that lasts forever. He takes us through things, not to dwell in things. He takes us through them. 2, Faith is his way. I'm going to say that again. Faith is his way. Do we all want to please God? I want to please God. We all want to please God. Right? The Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I'm just going to say that again. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we all want to please him. Okay? I'm going to explain faith to you. Faith is me over here with all my wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in what God wants to do. And what God wants to do is over here that relies on none of that. There's a gap between what I want and how God does things. That gap is a faith gap. If your faith gap's quite big, you're going to please God a lot. Because no matter what the distance is, there's always an opportunity. There's nothing in your life that doesn't require faith. God actually led these guys to the wall. So there's always an opportunity to please God. He creates situations for us to exercise faith so that we can please him. That's hard to fathom. But God will take us through everything. It's not our way, it's his way. Then we're going to look at four, obedience. Obedience is required in the hardest of times and the best of times. It's actually, you always have to be obedient. If the Israelites had resisted the instructions by God, the walls wouldn't have come down. It's as simple as that. If they decided to go fishing for the day, if they decided, you know, this is 6 days, this is going to take forever, like, God, why don't you just tell us, like, on day one, let's march around the wall 7 times and get the job done. It doesn't work like that. So they had to follow the instructions given by God for the walls to come down. Perseverance. God could have said they could have done that in one day. But he actually said 6 days. And he actually put his presence there as well. And you know what's interesting about that? Before the walls came down, his presence was with them the whole time. Sometimes when we're worshiping and we're worshiping and we're surrendering to God and we haven't seen the result yet, but we've got to continue to worship. We've got to continue to give our all to God. So we need to persevere. And then the power of worship's the final one. And I'm going to come in for a landing here. The power of worship. These guys were worshiping the whole time. They were celebrating. They were worshiping. But what's very interesting about worship and how we approach God is that very often when we're in a difficult place or when we're in a place where we haven't seen the wall come down yet, our flesh tells us to come to God downcast. Our flesh tells us to approach God, which kind of pleases us. Like, God, I'm not in the right place to praise you today. Therefore, I'm just going to come to worship you. Actually, when God says, worship me in spirit and truth, he is spirit, and faith pleases him. So when we come in those difficult moments and we give him a sacrifice of praise, he meets us in that place because he sees faith in you and the way you worship. So we've got to approach God in the way that's appropriate, which isn't the way we think. It's the way he responds. These guys had to celebrate before the wall came down. They weren't celebrating because the wall came down. They had to celebrate for it to come down. And in those difficult places, we need to worship God as though we already have the victory. And then we see what God... Do you know what? When we're on the mountaintop and we're celebrating like God's done something amazing, most of the time, it's easy to praise up there. But God says, on your face, acknowledge that it's me that's put you there. It's got nothing to do with you. That's the times where we actually got to just be humble, humble ourselves and go, Lord, it's all you. It's all you. It's nothing of me got me here. This is the upside down world of the kingdom of God that we need to grasp. And I think I'm going to bring it in for a landing there. That was very quick. I hope you don't feel like you crash landed. But I just sense, do you know what? In what I'm sharing, the way we approach God is just so fundamental to what we receive from Him. And we want to be a people that experience His presence, but we've got to be prepared to be a people that change out of our own understanding, how we want it done, so that we can move it the way He wants to do it. And that's that obedience, perseverance, that surrendering to Him. And I just feel like this morning we've kind of had a call. I don't know, Danny, if there's anything specific in terms of a call that you have. Thank you for coming up. But I just sense that there is a place where God wants to break things off of us. And God's already started to do that this morning. Now, there's two areas for me. Is if you're stuck looking at Jericho, and Jericho's walls look bigger to you than your God you serve, I think we need to pray for you this morning so that you can put your eyes back on Him. And I think the other one is, do you know what? We don't achieve anything without the presence of God, and we need to be full of His Spirit. And sometimes if you feel that you've just moved out of His presence, do you know what? It's okay not to have your presence in my life. God, I've actually got my life. I've got it sorted. I know how to deal with my kids. You know, I've got my process, how I work with my work and my difficult situations. I've got all of this tap. Like, I need you on Sunday when we have worship. It's really nice when your presence is there. But actually, I can do the rest of it on my own. I've got my life covered. Because actually, the presence of God, how about looking at those situations in your life and going, do you know what, Lord? I need your presence to break this out. Because I can't do it. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the understanding. It's a total surrender to Him for Him to work out your life. And then you see the presence of God manifest in every area, and the wall comes down. And you can only give glory to Him. So I think if you're not living the presence of God out in your life every day, then I think you need to come forward as well. Did I make that clear? Yeah. The first one is if the walls of Jericho have become bigger than your God. And the second one is if the presence of God isn't been living in your life, in all your circumstances and situations. Then I think we need to pray for you. Shall we worship? Let's worship. I have overshot time a little bit. That's okay.